Good morning and welcome to Shattering Myths, the program devoted to those of you who are open to the realization that all of the world's religious, political, economic, and military institutions are corrupt and counterproductive. I am Yada. Our number, if you'd like to join us anytime over the next 2 hours, is toll-free, 877-300-7645. I was curious as to why Mr. Wolf, he is the president of the Missouri University System, would step down. Now, many of you have heard that the University of Missouri football players decided they were going to boycott the next game. They wouldn't play. Kind of interesting, and that they're supposed to be student-athletes, and that the deal is that they perform in football for a paid education. But nonetheless, they were incensed, and they were not going to play football until Mr. Wolf resigned. Now, did Mr. Wolf say or do anything that was racist? No. So I watched a little of Mr. Wolf's comments after he said that he was going to resign. He was very articulate. He took full responsibility for a series of slights that he had absolutely nothing to do with. I said, you know, I don't want to be a distraction. I'll step down. And as he was doing so, they showed a crowd of all African-American students that were gathered in some lawn at the University of Missouri. And the two ringleaders in the front acted like they were great apes. Now, I'm not saying that for any reason other than their mannerisms. They were walking around swinging their arms and flailing their head around and gyrating in the same manner that we've all seen the great apes demonstrate their prowess on television cameras as various scientists have filmed them in the wild. Chanting from time to time, but no intelligent discussion. Just a animalistic show of dominance. God, it was revolting. So I read what the president was alleged for having done, and he didn't do any of these things, but these are the slights that the black students were complaining about. A swastika was drawn in feces in a dormitory bathroom. Now, of course, I wouldn't expect a University of Missouri student to be educated. It's a state school and a state not known for its education. But let me give you a clue there, boys and girls. The swastika was the symbol of anti-Semitism. It was a symbol of Nazi Germany. And Nazi Germany did not show hatred toward or racism towards blacks, but instead two groups of people, neither of which were African American. One of them was the Jews. That's well known. The other were the folks that they called gypsies. And those were the two. And it was primarily Jews. A swastika is not drawn to slight you, but I guess you'd have to actually have read some history to know that. The next is being subjected to racial slurs by passerbys in cars on campus. So we live in a world now where you are going to require the president of a university to resign because somebody that you don't even know is a student, alumni, faculty, in any way associated with that university, drives a car and says something you don't like. Wow. So I guess we have to have a word police out there if we're not going to have the African-American students protest. The word police say that if anybody, no matter if they are under the umbrella of the institution or not, says anything that's offensive to anybody, then whoever's in charge of the institution must resign. Think of the idiocy of that. Think of listing that as the second bullet point on your list of grievances. One student told the Los Angeles Times that she and other girls were kicked out of a fraternity party for being black. You know, you can be kicked out of a fraternity party because you're not a member of the fraternity. You can be kicked out of a fraternity party, let me repeat that, because you're not a member of the fraternity. A fraternity party is for the fraternity members and their guests. But I guess you would have to know what a fraternal order is, after all, to understand that. Another student said a professor told her she was only at the university because of affirmative action requirements. That was probably true. But in this age, political correctness isn't acceptable. Now, that professor would have known. The professor would have known whether or not this individual, because that individual was in his or her class, was qualified. And the professor, to be a professor at a state institution, had to be steeped in political correctness. So they would have had no problem with affirmative action. You cannot be a professor in a major university and not adhere to political correctness and therefore be a proponent of affirmative action. So this professor was in a position to know and was simply stating a fact. When the facts become offensive, for example, when I say that Islam is a terrorist dogma, that it was created by Muhammad as a criminal enterprise, that would be considered offensive to Muslims. But it's absolutely true. The truth is no longer an alibi. Not receiving any university support after the fatal shootings of Michael Brown in Ferguson, Missouri. What in the hell are they talking about? They want somebody to come out and hold their hand because a thug and a thief was shot because he tried to strangle and attack a police officer? Listen, I think that what Wilson did on that scene, and we devoted a number of programs to it, was absurd. I think the police in this country are way out of control. And that incident never should have happened because, A, Michael Brown should not have harassed a store owner, threatened him, and stolen cigars that were specifically designed to heighten his marijuana experience. And then when he did so, he shouldn't have gone gleefully down the street gloating as if, you can't stop me. I can steal anything I want. I can assault anybody I wish to. And with that same attitude, he was pulled over by the police who told him to get out of the middle of the street, and he went ballistic because he had no sense of right or wrong, no judgment. He was killed because he charged the policeman. And you need counseling to deal with that? And you want the president of the university to resign? You won't play football because he didn't hold your hand? Wow. Next was no response from Mr. Wolf after black students stopped his car at a homecoming parade. No response from Mr. Wolf after black students stopped his car at a homecoming parade. So here is Mr. Wolf in the homecoming parade. Black students act inappropriately, and they impede his movement. And rather than the perpetrators making a statement and saying, yeah, what we did was probably inappropriate, that we threatened him. We impeded him. We impeded his freedom. This was an inappropriate forum, and you want him to respond? Being treated differently to white students on campus, maybe they ought to look at their list of grievances. They're out of their ever-loving mind. This was just an interesting walkthrough what America has become. It's the age of the bully. It's the age of political correctness where right no longer matters. Speaking of being wrong, a Jordanian officer shot and killed two U.S. government security contractors, a South African trainer, and a Jordanian translator. At a U.S.-funded, why in the world are we funding police training facility at Amman? Thank you very much, America. We appreciate you supplying the weapons and the money and the trainers. Let's show our thanks by killing them all. U.S. President Barack Hussein Obama said he was treating the attack at the King Abdullah Training Center, in which four Jordanians and one Lebanese citizens were also wounded, very seriously. And a full investigation was underway. Well, let me save the President a dime or two. Islam is a terrorist dogma. Islam gives Muslims no reason to live, only a reason to die. A fundamentalist Muslim, even in light of the fact that the Americans were providing them with weapons and teaching them how to use it, was so hateful of a non-Muslim in their presence, they killed them, murdered them in cold blood. That's the nature of Islam. That's exactly what's going to happen, but on a much larger scale, if you want to also save a dollar or two on your investigative study. In Syria, the very Muslims that we are arming by the tens of billions of dollars are going to use those weapons on us, just as they did in Libya. Benghazi was perpetrated using weapons that the United States had given to Sharia, Ansar Sharia, Friends of Sharia Law. In Iraq, the very weapons that we provided the Iraqis are being wielded against Americans now. It is the nature of things. This gunman, he was a police captain, a senior member of the Jordanian police force. There was no immediate word on the attacker's background or motive. Oh, my God. They don't think that they know the motive? I mean, you could take this scenario and play it out 10,000 times, and the motive all 10,000 times would be exactly the same. To say I don't know the motive is not to say that I'm stupid. It's not to say that I'm ignorant. It's to say that I wish to mislead, that I don't want to tell you the motive. Because if I tell you the motive, then my politically correct distortion, my lies, won't seem as credible anymore. That my plan to provide all manner of weapons to these Muslims will look really foolish. Oh, and oh, by the way, guess what is taking place this very day? The world's largest bazaar for weapons. Jordan, of course, is an ally of the United States, which is going to get Jordan in very serious trouble here in very short order. I would expect the Islamic State to successfully invade and occupy Jordan within a matter of 6 months to at most 2 or 3 years. The Washington-led, in the Washington-led campaign against the Islamic State, so fundamentalist Sunni Muslims are going to despise America. This is a quote. It says that this incident, sadly, does not come as a surprise, as the threat of Islamic, this is Islamist, I don't know why, but Islamic terrorism has only increased in the region in the last few years in the aftermath of Syria and Iraq. As much as preemptive measures have been taken, it's impossible to eradicate this risk, said a Jordanian official who requested anonymity, citing political, why don't we say the truth, citing religious sensitivities. You know, it's interesting. The United States said that we're going to invade Afghanistan in a war against terrorism, and yet terrorism in Afghanistan has increased by thousands of percent. It is so bad that there are some 4 million Afghan refugees now that have migrated into Europe because they can't survive in Afghanistan. So we dramatically increased terrorism in Afghanistan in our war on terrorism. In Iraq, there was no terrorism, and maybe one minimal terrorist attack every couple of years in Iraq, and it was ruthlessly suppressed, so there wouldn't be any more than that. And now there are scores every day. You know, it's about a million-fold increase in terrorism in Iraq. In Syria, we're fighting a war on terrorism there, too, and ever since we have joined that war, terrorism has increased by an incalculable margin. And probably the best example of America bungling its war on terrorism is we are fighting a war on terrorism, or we did when we bombed Libya and provided billions of dollars worth of weapons to the jihadists, and now that's all there is in Libya. There is nothing in Libya other than terrorism. So if you're claiming, your government is continually claiming that its military, who it wants you to honor and respect, it wants you to pay for, is constantly counterproductive. If its every action makes the situation that it claims to be fighting infinitely worse, maybe we have a problem. You know, wake up, America. Do you have any concept of the reality that you're being lied to? That the war on terrorism is simply making terrorism worse? You know, it's like America's war on drugs. Since America has been fighting the war on drugs, the prevalence of drugs, the purity of those drugs, the consumption of those drugs has gone up some tenfold. I mean, everything that we do delivers the opposite result of that which is allegedly intended. So why would anyone in their right mind support the United States government in its war on terrorism? Or, for example, its war on drugs. Or now, most recently, its war on climate change. Everything it does, it will make worse. This is a sad part of the United States, but Russian communications intercepted by the United States intelligence agencies showed Russia believed that the plane that crashed in the Sinai on October 31st was brought down by a bomb, U.S. sources familiar with the matter said on Monday. The intercepts are among the pieces of evidence leading U.S. officials to suspect that a device was planted on the Metrojet flight that exploded shortly after the Airbus took off from the resort city of Sharm el-Sheikh. Isn't that amazing? I mean, not only is America listening in on the conversations at the highest level of the Russian government, we're flaunting it to the extent that we will publish the fact that we're eavesdropping on everything they say, just as we did with the German government, the French government, the Italian government, just as we're doing with everyone within our own government. I watched a movie last night. It was called Spectre. It was the latest James Bond movie. And, oh my. The whole movie was about a 10-nation international intelligence gathering consortium being led by unelected officials spying on everyone. Everyone within their governments, every citizen of their country, everywhere, all the time, spying. It is exactly what the U.S. and Great Britain collectively have conceived. It's a great horror. Spy agency, whose primary tactics are to spy on the American people, is headed by the U.S. military, its generals, the NSA, a organization that the U.S. War College, after a comprehensive investigation, determined the same thing that I learned as I investigated them on my own, that they lie more often than they tell the truth, that most of what is said by the military is not only untrue, it's known to be untrue by the person making the statement. And you have dishonest individuals with no moral fabric in the ultimate slave master institution where the subordinate has no choice but to follow orders. And you have that kind of an agency over the largest spy network in the history of humankind, a billion times more intrusive than the Gestapo. And it's in league with the CIA, which is so immoral that it conducts torture and never doesn't even bother to apologize for it. And it is in league with the FBI, who for decades now has fabricated as fashion files, first of all, fashion files on political leaders to keep those political leaders from criticizing it and reigning in its power, this blackmail, and who has fabricated evidence against individuals who have been convicted of crimes and have spent decades in prison, all on fabricated evidence. And that collectively, this is the spy agency of the world. And then it goes to other member states and say, yeah, we're spying on you. But you either join or hellish things are going to happen to you. And that's true of Australia, New Zealand, Italy, France, Germany, the UK. They all have to play along. And that was the nature of the movie of Spectre. That is our reality. Now, folks, I can't protect you from it. I can't convince you that this is the single most grievous thing that's ever happened to the United States or to the world at large. I can use my words to tell you you have no hope in opposing your government, of changing your government, of reining in your government's tendency to be vicious, your government's propensity to deceive, because it's way too late. There's nothing any of us can do. We've lost. If you're a freedom-loving individual, if you cherish privacy, you've lost. And there's no place really that you can go to get out of the view of these horrid institutions. And there isn't anybody in power in the United States or anybody running for power in the United States that isn't aware of this. They all know it's the case. And yet we talk about nonsensical issues. Dateline Washington. This is an interesting story considering the one that I just shared with you. The United States has spent billions. Actually, it's spent trillions. Over the past 14 years, improving its ability to gather intelligence across the globe. It's not gathering intelligence, it's spying on everyone. And to be intelligent, you have to have the proper perspective. You know, you have to know when and what to look at. We are indiscriminate. There is no intelligence associated with our gathering of information. We ought not call it intelligence. We ought to call it what it is. Spying for the sake of empowering governments and individuals. Now, much of that money was intended to ensure that acts of airborne terrorism like September 11th never happen again. Boy, is that ever stupid. The plans for 9/11 were made public 5 years before 9/11 occurred. Anybody that wanted to read about it could Google Ramzi Youssef. I mean, it wasn't even hidden because Ramzi Youssef had conceived the plan before he bombed the World Trade Center. And so we knew who had conceived the plan. We had access to his plans. And yet the quote-unquote intelligence center systems did nothing. If you want 9/11 not to happen again, all you have to do is install Kevlar doors in aircraft. Then an event like 9/11 cannot happen. You could have zero intelligence, you could have zero military, you could have zero FBI, you could have zero TSA, if you simply did what airlines did, which was replace the cockpit doors with Kevlar. 9/11 becomes impossible. So that was done. There's no reason to spend these trillions of dollars. And yet, here we are told, but since a Russian charter jet crashed in the Sinai Peninsula in Egypt last week, a combination of factors has limited the ability of the United States to quickly piece together information sufficient to determine with confidence why the plane fell from the sky. Boy, the journalist here has fallen for the ruse. The reality is that if you want to know where the plane fell from the sky, you examine the evidence that is contained on that plane. If there was a bomb, there will be bomb residue. If there's a bomb, there will be a trigger for that bomb. The trigger for the bomb will not have vaporized. We will find it. They will find it in the investigation. If there was a bomb, they will locate what piece of luggage that bomb was placed in. Where that piece of luggage or the place, the exact place that the bomb exploded. They will know every detail about the composition of that bomb and where the components came from of that bomb. By examining the evidence, you do not need an FBI, a CIA, an NSA, and spy satellites to ascertain what happened. And thus far, there hasn't been a single Islamic terrorist attack that has been thwarted by knowledge collected, by information collected by the NSA. So, folks, we are being played for fools. All we're doing with our intelligence gathering is spying on everyone, including ourselves, and making enemies of the world. Hello, Glenn. How are you this morning?
You come on the radio and you talk about all these things and the Mohammed Mikra and Islam and all these political things. People may not understand. How do you know what sick could be somebody from another country who doesn't understand? Your job is to create a safe home for people to come and listen on the radio. You should not be doing. You should step down and stop doing this.
There you go. You're right. Can you imagine somebody expressing the fables that are emanating out of our government, out of the governments of the world, and the things that are being missed by the average person who is patriotic, who loves their country, who will celebrate Memorial Day, who thinks their military has actually provided them with a service? You know, imagine somebody having the audacity to tell them the truth.
What's actually more amazing than the audacity of crazies to scream and yell and go all ape like this is that people, you know, roll over to them. Somebody better grow a spine. Somebody in Germany better grow a spine. Right. Somebody, I mean, this guy should have stood his ground and said, look, you know, we live in a society where if somebody does something wrong, he or she can be held to account.
Right.
But I have done nothing wrong. I am not in control of someone at a party who is drunk and says something irresponsible.
Right.
That is not my job. It's somebody that needs to stand up and take a stand for themselves. Not just, I'm resigning as an act of love. That guy should have stood here, that University of Missouri guy should have stood here and said, look.
You and I are in agreement on that. Yeah, you and I are in our total agreement on that. That, you know, what we need here is for people to grow a spine. I mean, that's the whole essence of Proverbs 6, which we'll turn to in the second hour. God's saying, when are you going to get a spine? When are you going to get a backbone? When are you going to stand up? When are you going to stop being so damn comatose? So apathetic. You're being played for a fool, you're being misled, and the vast preponderance of you don't seem to even give a darn that they're making merchandise out of you, playing you for an absolute idiot, because you don't seem to care. Your view here is the identical view being articulated by Yahweh in the sixth proverb.
It's like these people, we have crazed barbarians at the gate, and that, you know, or people are opening the gate and just rolling the Trojan horse right in on every front.
And the citizens are dancing around the Trojan horse, trying to let the enemy out. Yeah, burn us down. What do we care?
You know, the great manipulator, you know, the sociopathic, megalomaniacal manipulators at the top may just be right at this point. They may have judged that they have sufficiently domesticated, dumbed down, and weakened the populace that they can now get away with these sorts of things with impunity. And all the evidence seems to be that they can.
I agree with you. I mean, that is the bottom line here, is that after generations of political correctness, of teaching people not to be judgmental, of being tolerant of lies, and of promoting deceptions in the name of what is politically and economically and religiously acceptable, has so dumbed people down that most people are incapable of thinking. You know, I see it every day. The way that you, if you really want to watch it, just go out driving sometime and watch the processing speed of individuals.
Oh, my goodness.
The judgment of people behind a wheel of a car shows you how much we have lost in terms of the ability to process information and make good judgments.
It's amazing that there aren't far more accidents than there are.
Right.
You know,
but you look at this fellow that resigned in Missouri. First of all, he never should have resigned. And second of all, he should have said, "I have a backbone. How about you? I'll take responsibility for what I have done. I'm not going to take responsibility for someone who does not report to me, who I have no authority over, has done. And what's wrong with you that you can't come up with a backbone? Why don't you stand up against something that's meaningful?" I think you're completely right. But as you know, the reason that we expose and condemn politics and academia and the media and religion and the like, the media and the spy agencies, is that Yahweh tells us that until we disassociate from these things, until we stop trusting these things, then we never are going to either be able to listen to him, have a conversation with him, or relate to him. He advertises now at least once or twice a program. You know what his calamity is?
No.
Bonner is basically saying that America's debt at $18 trillion going to $20 trillion and the unfunded mandates at about $70 trillion will, in fact, do the country in if we were to survive long enough for that to occur. And quantitative easing, where we are no longer able to borrow money and therefore we must create the illusion of solvency, requires way too much make-believe. And that'll do us in, but we aren't going to get it that far. He said back in the 1960s, when we stopped making things and real productivity plummeted and real earnings plummeted in America, that we created the myth of economic progress and economic growth through credit. And everybody went from a cash-based society to a credit-based society, including all businesses. And that now the credit exceeds some $75 trillion. But there's only less than $10 billion in actual currency behind that credit. So if there's any disruption, any nick in the myth of the solvency of our fiat scheme, and 0.1% try to cash out, take their savings and put it into cash, or just to take part of their savings and bring it out on their ATM card, the whole system craters. There's no amount of of capacity in the U.S. government to create the illusion that your money is actually accessible to you.
Well, the two trip triggers most clearly on the near horizon for this are the messing, if the Fed even presumes to attempt to touch the interest rate on the one hand, and B, when the second one is it, when the Chinese renminbi, becomes a reserve currency in
Correct.
The new year,
Correct.
Either one of these could be sufficiently disruptive.
Correct. It could. Yeah, absolutely. As well as the anarchy that is likely to ensue in Europe as a result of the millions of Muslims that have been brought into Europe. In fact, I think it was you that called this the summer of our discontent and predicted that this would be at the calamitous point. And I said, I think you're a little early, but the events certainly lined up this summer for the anarchy that is to follow. Now, what Bonner is, I think, right about is that scenario that he has painted is accurate. What I don't think he realizes is how the elite are going to respond. They aren't going to roll over and try to flood the world with dollars. They're going to acknowledge that the old system has failed. And that what they're going to do is going to entice you to go along with their new system. And the new system, to get you to go along with it, they're going to forgive all debt. Student loans, car loans, home loans, you name it. Credit card payments, that was in that old currency. Then they're going to confiscate all savings, because that was also in that old currency, and that's the one percenters after all. And then they're going to give you a new form of credit, and so long as you pledge your allegiance to them, you will have a new form of credit, but you'll have no savings, and everything is going to be restarted with their new system. And guess who's going to benefit from that and who's going to lose from that? You'll have total and complete control.
Well, and the strange elitist. Thing is, yeah, and the strange thing is, you know, the responsible people mm-hmm. who have savings, who have earned, who've been productive,
all gone.
All gone.
All
and
gone.
The beneficiaries will be the many, many irresponsible
right.
or unfortunate
right.
people. You know,
yep.
some, there are some responsible people who've gotten
yeah.
stiff,
now,
too.
Now, Boehner wants you to, or Boehner wants you to cash out now, to take your cash
right.
out. Now, the government won't let you do that. If you try to cash out, the government will stop
mm-hmm.
you, and they will have you investigated, and they will not allow you to do that. But even if you could do it, it won't do any good, because the government's response is going to be to outlaw cash. Cash will
right.
be made illegal. The old currency will be called
oh,
illegal.
Yeah, they'll wipe out things like the Bitcoin and all this stuff.
Sure, they'll make it all illegal.
People trying to hide in carrot bars, all they have to do is pull an FDR and take the, you know, confiscate gold, you know.
Right. And if your plan is that you're going to have a bunker someplace and you're going to be self-sufficient and you're going to have seeds and you're going to grow your own crops, if you have food, if you have a generator and can generate power, if you have gasoline or propane to generate your power, and others don't, and they're hungry and they're cold.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to come after you. And then what are you going
right.
to do? Are you going to have an arsenal?
Right.
And are you going to be willing to kill all those people that come after what you have?
Yeah. Isn't it intriguing that Moshe said, store not up on earth where moth and rust consume and where thieves break through and steal?
Right. Yes, that is the place that we find ourselves. And, Glenn, there is no solution other than the exit strategy that Yahweh has provided, and that's to participate in his covenant and get the ride of a lifetime on Teruah.